The Library Journal, a bi-monthly magazine, has started a new bestsellers list for readers, books most borrowed at the library. While other lists reflect what's selling in the bookstores, some say this new survey by the Journal reflects what people are actually reading as opposed to what people buy and just use as a decorative doorstop. So if there's a book you've bought and never bothered to read, give us a quick call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us. TOTN@NPR.org, and I'll throw in Brief History of Time. Joining us to talk about the most borrowed list is Francine Feilkoff, the editor of Library Journal magazine. She's with us from our bureau in New York. Welcome.
Hi there.
So tell us about this list.
Well, we wanted to start this list because we really felt that what you see on the bestseller list is what people are buying, and it's a whole different dynamic involved in what people are buying and what they get at the library. I think it's a much more intimate relationship with the library than it is with a bookstore. I mean, you may be going to a bookstore to buy a book for a friend or a relative. You're usually going to the library to get a book for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely right. And just before Father's Day, obviously, a lot of the people went to the bookstore to buy a gift for Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't intend to read it, and Dad may have oohed and aahed over that thick political biography, but then stuck
right,
it up on
right.
the shelf.
Well, luckily, perhaps then Bill Clinton's book wasn't out for Father's Day, although it will be this week.
It will be this. It's out, in fact, now.
Yeah.
So why did you decide to do this list?
We've always wanted to show the power of public libraries. I mean, so many people in this country use their public libraries. 65% of the people in this country, the adults, I should say, because we always associate libraries with children, but 65% of the adults in this country have library cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty significant statistic. And that means that a lot of books that are being read in this country and sold in this country are being read through the library, sold to the library, and the people who read them are really proselytizing for books and for the books they read.
Libraries, as I understand it, by what, 20% of the books sold in this country?
I would say it's less than that. It's probably around 12%, but they spend over $2 billion on books.
Now, the library list, as I'm looking at the Library Journal list, and I'm mm-hmm. happen to be looking at the fiction list, the mm-hmm. Da Vinci Code is at the top of your list, number
right,
one.
Right.
I'm also got the New York Times bestseller list, and it's mm-hmm. Number two on the New York Times
right.
bestseller list.
Right.
So that one tracks pretty closely.
Yeah, now that's not surprising. And there are a number of other books that you'll see that won't surprise you either. But for instance, I'm looking at the June 15th list. The Amateur Marriage by Anne Tyler is on the June 15th list. It hasn't really been on a New York Times list, let's say, for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
That book came out in January. And Anne Tyler is what I consider a fairly serious novelist. But her books have done very, very well. But nevertheless, it's not tracking, I think, on the major lists around the country, the national lists. And yet here it can have a much longer life in the library. A book that came out in January certainly won't be a bestseller in bookstores at this point.
Are there any, as we noted, the big distortion in the bestseller list is that a lot mm-hmm. of people buy books they never do get around to reading.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any similar kinds of distortions in the library list?
You mean in the sense of people taking out books and not necessarily reading them?
Well, yeah, that's true enough. But, I mean, aren't there other aspects of this? For example, there might be a regular, steady, process of people borrowing a book over years and years and years, and it would never mm-hmm. make the best 10 best.
Well, that's for sure. But I think that just shows the depth of the library. And one of the things we want to do is eventually go down much deeper in this list and really put up, let's say, the top 50 or the top 100 in fiction and nonfiction and see what will really pop and what will move. And once we take a look regionally, I think that can be fascinating as well.
Hmm. Let's get a caller in. Bradford is with us from Salem, Oregon.
Hi there.
Hi.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say, having graduated with an English degree, that in the last 6 months I've picked up both Moby Dick and The Grapes of Wrath and haven't gotten more than 5 pages into either.
Oh. Well, there it goes.
And I'm also embarrassed to say that the Stephen Kings and the Dan Browns of my collection have gotten the read quickly.
Well, that's the nature of the Stephen Kings and the Dan Browns, isn't it?
That's very true.
Okay. Bradford, we'll not tell anybody your last name.
I appreciate that.
And certainly won't get in touch with your the institution which granted you a piece of parchment.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks very much for the call. Francine Feilkoff, We just have a few seconds left, but aren't there some books that people want to buy and have as opposed to take out from the library?
Absolutely, and I think that's sort of a point of a library. Many people go to the library, take out books, and then find their books that they want in their collection. In fact, I've been told that by a number of authors who, as you know, when authors start out, they're not necessarily rolling in money. And then once they do have some success, they find that they want to build their own libraries. And they do that sometimes by going to the library, seeing what they want, and then adding it to their own collection. Sandra Cisneros has even said that.
Francine Feilkoff, thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Francine is the editor of Library Journal magazine. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.